I'd like to begin with the status of ICU beds in the area. Last Sunday, it was reported that there were only 8 available. And of course, we could have seen that change dramatically since then. What's the latest?
The latest numbers have us back to closer to where we were last week, which is about 22 available ICU beds. We're starting to see a slight decline in the number of COVID cases requiring intensive care. It's important to remember that the state numbers that we're talking about that deal with the number of available ICU beds cover ICU beds used for whatever disease or illness. And it's really crucial to remember that we're still having heart attacks and traumatic injuries, even in the time of the pandemic. So the pandemic just adds stress to a healthcare system that frankly has always struggled to be able to meet the community's needs.
And sadly, a 19-year-old woman is suspected to be El Paso's youngest death due to COVID-19. Has that confirmation come back?
The city did say on Saturday that a teenage female had died. They don't provide specific identifications. And all the city would say was that the 3 people whose deaths were announced that Saturday died between late June and the 3rd week of July. So that 3rd week of July is when the young woman we wrote about passed away. So it's possible, but we don't know for sure. So the disturbing thing is we may have had another teenager who has not been publicly identified who also passed away from the illness. And this is just a very important reminder that while COVID-19 is usually portrayed as something that's lethal for older people, it can kill younger people as well. And that's a message that unfortunately has been reinforced here in El Paso in recent days.
The reports about the 19-year-old indicated she had asthma. And one of the disturbing things about those reports was that she had known exposure, went and got a test on July 8th, and by the end of the month had still not had those results back when she died.
Yeah, the family did get her results back on July 23rd, so 3 days after her death, and the results came back inconclusive, which is obviously very frustrating for the family. But the physicians who treated her told the family that she died of COVID-19 complications tied to her asthma. So just a really, really heartbreaking story. And what's really scary is how fast this happened for the family. She had cold-type symptoms for a couple of days, was getting better, and then started feeling worse. So they called an ambulance to take her to a hospital, and her heart stopped in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and she didn't make it. So the family lost her so quickly.
You mentioned earlier that one of the things we must think about when thinking in terms of ICU bed availability is that everything else is still happening, too, and we're approaching the anniversary of that terrible day that a mass shooting took place in El Paso that led to around 50 people having to be taken to the hospital. So when we think of in terms of maintaining preparedness in case there is a mass casualty event, that's one of the things that we obviously think about. And there's going to be a lot in the coming days regarding the first anniversary of that attack on the community. What can you tell us?
So I think El Paso Matters, like most other media in our region, will be spending a lot of time between now and Monday reflecting on what those horrible events meant to our community, how it's changed us, how we're all still healing. It's obviously going to be a deeply emotional time, and many of us have difficulty, as I am right now, even talking about it because it was such a difficult moment in our history. With our coverage in El Paso Matters, we're really hoping to talk about how the community has healed and how it's progressed in the last year and how it's shown resiliency. But there's no way of getting around the awful trauma of that day and the deep, deep scars it's left on El Pasoans. Those of us who were there that day, whether at the Walmart or just in the community in general, had our lives altered. And of course, none more so than the people who were shot and killed or wounded that day and the family members who loved them. Their lives have just been turned upside down.
Follow these stories and more at ElPasoMatters.org. Bob, thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.